want to make your money make sense? Listen to Business Sense every Monday to Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. and make sense of your money.
Well, good evening to you and welcome to the second and final hour of the show. It is, of course, Business Sense right here on Adventist World Radio. We are, of course, powered by SID Media. I'd like to hear from you. If you don't know the number by now, I think we need to ask you the same question we've been asking the whole week. Vavas J, where were you? Where have you been? I think we'll forgive you for now, right? Tomorrow, going forward, please remember that number and interact with us, +27 7347 03520. It is a Tuesday, so on Tuesdays we do this thing called technology and innovation, and we try and keep up with what's happening in the world of technology. We are novices, myself, for that matter, you know, at least novices in this space. That's why we bring you experts who know a little bit about what's happening in the technology space. Who better? Then, of course, Damon Mubinde, who is, of course, a lecturer, in fact, leading lecturer in this space. And he'll be telling us a little bit about the digital divide in developing countries, right? And we'll be talking to him about that. But +27 7347 03520. That is +27 7347 03520. That's the number that you can use to talk to us and let us in on what your thoughts are. Now, the digital divide, as you know, represents the gap between the individuals who have access to resources like computers. And some people might even think that, are there countries that still don't have? Yes. Yes, there are countries that still don't have access to computers and the internet. Of course, that's the divide between the ones who have and those who do not have. Now, this digital divide was further thrown into the spotlight after the pandemic, of course, which shifted all aspects of life from work to education to even how we socialize as well. And of course, so online became then an unprecedented, I suppose, growth that we saw over the last couple of years. What does that mean? And how does it divide us? Joining us this evening, it is, of course, Elder Damon Mubinde. My Elder, good evening.
Good evening, Tapelo. And I also welcome the listeners as we talk about the digital divide.
Ah, indeed. It's an interesting, interesting topic there. Just thinking about it, you can already see that we are going to be talking some serious stuff. But thank you so much for joining us this evening. Really, really appreciate your time. What, firstly, are we talking about, if we were to define, my Elder, in your expert opinion, this digital divide? And I tried in my intro there. But in your own expert and advice, what is this thing, digital divide?
Actually, a digital divide, for example, digital has to do everything with technology. Yeah. In most cases, this is the communications technology. We call it ICT. Yeah. So the digital divide refers to the gap, as you said, the difference between individuals, number one.
Okay.
Difference between communities. It can be a difference between nations that have access to modern information and communications technology and those who do not. So it is the difference between they have and they do not have. So that's what we call the digital divide.
And then in what ways does this digital divide then, I suppose, show up in countries like ourselves who are, you know, developing countries? How does it show up, this divide?
Okay, so actually what we can say is the divide shows up in different areas because information and communications technology is now showing up almost everywhere.
Yeah.
So it covers everything, the whole spectrum.
Yeah.
For example, developed countries, because they are what we call developed countries and developing countries.
Ah.
So the difference is in the way internet penetrates the country. Okay. Then how they rate. So when we rate the countries, we look at those.
Yeah.
How vastly or how intertwined or how internet is acquired by individuals, by companies, in different countries put together, and then they compare to others.
Yeah.
Then this thing, we look at a better digital infrastructure, because those are the things that define a developed country. It's the higher internet penetration rate, how internet is distributed throughout the country, and then better digital infrastructure, how the things like fiber optic, you know, 5G networks, you know, how they are distributed in the country. Then how much people, how much empowered people are in acquiring greater access to devices like smartphones and computers, we put together in a country and then we compare to others. And then apart from that, because it doesn't pay just to own a cell phone, but also you need what we call digital literacy skills. Okay, so how skilled people are in a certain country. And then the last one, because I looked at five areas. How robust e-government services and online resources are in a certain country. For example, when you want to pay or when you want to renew your license, do you just go to your computer or you have to drive 50 kilometers to a place? You are still using analog methods. So those are the issues that we look at in order to rate a country, whether they are in the first bracket or they are in a developed country. And the difference in those areas is what we call the digital divide.
And then what causes these, I suppose, digital divides that you've mentioned there? And then my subsequent question to that is, so how far is Africa from the rest of the world then in that aspect?
Africa is very, very behind. We are quite behind as compared to other countries. First of all, I just want to check the information that I had resourced. Okay, so like we can say in countries like Northern Europe, the access there for internet among populations is about 97.4. Which means in 100 people, if you put 100 people at random, you find that 97 of those, they know how to use a computer, they use the internet, they, you know, that's how it is. And also this translates also in companies. So when we talk about individuals, when you are looking at economics, you say it's micro, okay? Now, at macro level, meaning at the national level, it is also the same. Meaning companies that are operating in that country, in those countries in Europe, 97% of them use internet and they depend on internet. Now let's go to Africa. If we go to Africa, like places like here in, let me take Central Africa. It's 32%. Okay, which means only three people in 100. If we look at say East Africa, it's 26%, 26.8, meaning three people also or two people. Then in South Africa, at least in South Africa, we are, you know, we are a bit better. It's about 75%.
Okay, okay.
That is as at 2024. Now this is the access to computing. Now when you look at these things, it translates into a lot of issues. Like I said, you need to have these countries where there is no development. It means that they've got limited internet access or slow connectivity. Meaning that if you go to some of the countries, for you to just access internet, it will take a long time. They've got inadequate digital infrastructure. So your question was, how do we, what happens, why? So there is limited internet access or slow connectivity. Number two, there is inadequate digital infrastructure. And then the high cost of devices and data plans, And then there is lower digital literacy rates.
Mm.
And then limited e-government services and online resources.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when I was in Johannesburg, if you just want to access your municipality rates, you just go to the internet,
yes,
you check.
Yes.
Your bill is there. You want to pay, you just make a payment.
Yeah.
You want to book for your driver's license, you just go and you book. It's already secure.
Yeah.
But there are some places where, even within South Africa, where you cannot do that. You have to drive. You have to walk. You have to, for you to access a call or to talk like we are talking, you have to go to a mountain, the top of the mountain, and then you talk to your friend.
Yeah.
So that's what I can say at the moment. Yes.
So it seems like the West, you know, more developed countries are leading ahead. And we are lagging behind in terms of that. And like you said, infrastructure, high cost of access are some of the things that I suppose make it very difficult. How do we bring down these obstacles, my elder? Is there a role for government? Is there a role for public-private partnerships, I suppose? Is there a role for, I don't know, NGOs in bridging down these obstacles that we have, which are continually dividing us in terms of access?
Yes, yes. This thing is bigger than just the digital access or the technological infrastructure. It begins from far. Actually, this goes beyond what we are talking about. It engulfs or encompasses the whole nation politically and then economically.
Yeah.
So to bridge the digital gap, we need investment in digital infrastructure.
Okay.
Meaning expanding internet access, improving connectivity, developing digital infrastructure, you know, in those underserved areas. Number two, we need to increase access to devices.
Yeah.
Making devices more affordable and accessible. Where does this come from? We need money. We need resources.
Yeah.
So where does it begin? The people who control these things are, in most cases, in our African continent, it's the politicians.
Yes.
Because most of our governments are not totally capitalist, meaning depending on the private sector.
Yeah.
No, the government has a lot to do in our governments. They control a lot of things. So that's where it begins. Number three, digital literacy training.
Mm.
We have to provide training and education. Mm. All this needs money.
Mm.
Now, I just want to, let me finish going through this. Then I tell you why it is not easy.
Yeah.
So I've talked about digital literacy, affordable internet plans, e-government services, because for the government to get a lot of revenue, they need to make it easier for people not to miss the payments, for people not to miss their bills. Okay, so you just go to the internet, you click in the comfort of your home or wherever you are, things are happening.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
But these things are not there. Infrastructure is not there.
Yeah.
International cooperation, collaboration globally to share best practices, resources, and expertise.
Mm.
For you to collaborate with other global giants, you need peace in a country. You need to stamp out corruption.
Mm.
You need to do a lot of things. So now what is happening is, imagine in certain areas, even here in South Africa, where the kids do not have, children do not have proper school infrastructure.
Yeah.
They don't have food. Now, what is your priority? To acquire digital facilities, or first of all, you take care of the children who are not having food or who are having a poor infrastructure. So you find that we have things, basic things to deal with first in Africa before we go anywhere else. So we need to deal with those basic things for us to develop and get to a stage where now we will be looking at infrastructure and things like technology.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And I'm going to ask an unfair question, my elder. And I know it's not part of what we are discussing, but listening to you, and the belief that I have is that Africa has got potential. In fact, Africa should be the next big thing in the next few years. And maybe some might even argue that we should have been the next big thing a long time ago. are we not shooting ourselves, are our politicians and our leaders, with all the access to the money, whether it's money that comes from aid or money that they generate from taxes and all those sort of stuff, isn't there enough money going around for us to put up this infrastructure, to put up these systems, e-government systems as well, to make access a little bit easier? Or we just aren't going the direction we should be going, particularly as our leaders, especially in the political space, who've got the budget and the purse?
Tapelo, it's a tricky question.
Yeah.
I won't be mentioning countries by name, but I listened to a certain politician who came on public and then said they have, depleted the funds for the government.
Yeah.
They took bribes. They destroyed the infrastructure.
Yeah.
You know, politicians in most cases are guilty of that. So what we need to do, we just need to, I don't know what can be done by people in order to make sure that these things are addressed. Otherwise, Africa has a lot of money, despite the previous, or rather the historical background of Africa, of slavery, of colonialism, and all those things. We find that there are countries in the world that were down and they are up.
Yeah.
For example, you look at Singapore.
Yeah.
Singapore in the 1960s was a poor country, just like any other country, other African country.
Yeah.
It took them 20 years.
Yeah.
So what did they do? They invested in human capital, educating and training.
Yes.
Number two, they attracted foreign investments, which means they gave tax incentives to businesses, and they were business friendly.
Hmm.
You know, they made sure that they drove the business friendly policies.
Mm.
Then they diversified their economy from trade to manufacturing and finance and tourism.
Mm.
So they did those because there are key things. You can you don't just need to offer services. You can also manufacture.
Yeah.
And you find that they may not even have minerals in their country, but they manufacture things.
Yeah.
So they diversified. Then they had strong governance and corruption control.
Mm.
So corruption is the key issue.
Mm.
So the results became a modern knowledge-based economy with a high standard of living.
Yeah.
Today, as we speak, they've got about 64,581 GDP per capita, which is very, very good. That is Singapore,
that is
a small country.
Good.
By 1960, it was just like any other country that got independence at that time, like DRC. They got independence at that time. We've got countries like Zambia. They got independence 4 years just after that. And their money was equivalent to the pound, okay? So at that time, they were just the same. But look at where these countries are. Singapore is far way beyond this, and everyone is looking at them. The other country is South Korea, you know? They also, from 1960, they were at the same level with many African countries. It took them 30 years. Look at where they are. South Korea is now having $31,762 GDP per capita. And then Ireland from 1980. Ireland was not a colonizer. It was a colony. Actually, they were colonized by the Britons.
Yes.
And they moved, you know.
Sure.
So they moved from where they were in 20 years.
Sure.
Now their per capita is $73,200 GDP per capita. So you can see that we can also make it. All we need is just to change our mindset, to pump money into education, to pump money into infrastructure, to collaborate with countries, to have to make sure that the leaders are not selfish. Because what happens is, like a certain country that I read about, where people, foreign countries are coming in their country and they buy the minerals, the areas for minerals at a very cheap price because they've given a bribe to a minister.
Yeah.
And then they take that and they are just taking the raw materials to their countries.
Yeah.
So we need people who can change things.
Yeah.
Like Botswana. Botswana is in a very better place because people there are patriotic.
Yes.
That's what I can say at the moment. And then I can give you a chance to comment. I can talk about countries that went from good to West.
Yeah.
I can talk about that also so that you can see and then compare.
Yeah,
yes.
I love that, and I love how you phrase it, because it comes across as encouraging, right? To say, if other countries have done it, then we too can actually do it, as opposed to the other side that's giving up or anything. And I love the fact that you said we just need a change in the mindset, right, from our politicians. And I suppose we who are not politicians is really to pray for our politicians, to pray for our leaders as well, who are in the space, who are running all these things, to actually see the light so that we can then move, I suppose, Africa to where it's supposed to be, which is, of course, in par with the rest of the world, if not leading the rest of the world. I'm patriotic myself to say Africa can. Africa has the potential, and we just need to harness that potential and make sure that, you know, we drive it where we need to drive it. I mean, I could talk from an economics point of view that everything is coming here. The West is coming to Africa. China is coming to Africa. Europe is coming to Africa, because this is where most of the things that they need, minerals and beneficiation, could take place. But I suppose we are not thinking from that end. Let's go back then to our topic around, does the digital divide that I suppose developing countries are currently experiencing, does it affect the economy of the globe, or it's just limited to that particular country? Say, for example, South Africa.
The digital divide affects everything.
Okay.
What I would say is technology is now driving the entire economies of the world, of a nation.
Yeah.
So if you want increased productivity and efficiency, you need technology wherever, in whatever things you are doing.
Yes.
For example, I just want to give an example of meteorology. If you are digitally better, you can predict that there will be a flood in 10 days or 20 days before it happens.
Yes.
And you can sensitize the people, you can have less destruction.
Yes.
If your technology is okay, you can reach out easily to people and, give them whatever you want to give, because time is money. So where technology is robust, everything is just on the fingertips,
and
you can easily even improved communication and connectivity.
Yes.
You can do a lot of things.
Yes.
And you can also create new industries and create new jobs.
Mm.
So those are, even healthcare, when you are digitally up, everything is just, on the fingertips.
Mm.
You can do an operation. Even if the doctor is in Cape Town, the patient is in Johannesburg, you can operate on a person.
Yo.
And, increase the trade and commerce opportunities. Mm. You can do a lot of things. And there can be transparency and accountability when everything is done properly. So you find that improving digital infrastructure will actually affect the economy of a country in all aspects of life.
Mm.
So it is very, very important. Yes. So if we improve on that, then countries will can be at par, though we have a long way to go, because the monies and the leadership and the control is not in the people with the same mindset.
Yeah.
So we need, I don't know whether it's a miracle or we need just sensitizing people. We need NGOs to be on the bandwagon and just eradicating and spreading and preaching to the people. Now, the issue is that these things, the change of mindsets begins with individuals.
Mm.
So there is no way you can expect a politician to change things if individuals are not doing the right thing. Like just here in Rwanda, things are happening there.
Mm.
Rwanda is now becoming, one of the, powerful countries on the African soil.
Mm.
There you find that even small things like throwing a peel of a banana, you can't do that on the street. You throw it down, someone picks it up, and we start from there, and you find that Rwanda is becoming a powerful country.
Yeah.
Rwanda sells those two small countries because of the mindset that is there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there are so many factors, yes, but we need just to learn one or two things from the countries that have developed. Mm. Yes, Tapel.
I suppose we are globally connected, right? So there's nothing that happens in one country that does not affect all the other countries as well. And if we have a shared vision, shared growth as a world, we could close the digital gap. That's what I'm hearing you say. And industries depend on this coming together, connectedness of, I suppose, digitally, so that we can then be able to do amazing things as a people.
Yes, yes, we can do that. We can do that. So all we need to do is to, of course, there's no country that can develop without politicians. Politicians are there to put the country together, and the politics of a country will drive a lot of things.
Yeah.
So all we need to do is we have to change our mindset and look for certain ideologies that can work for Africa, because there are so many countries that have been in democracy for a long time. And change of governments, when a government changes, everything changes.
Yes.
But countries like America, you can change the government, the policies will remain the same.
Mm.
So there is something that is not okay, And you find that countries that may prosper, like China, then they've got a different mode or model of governance, like a communist government.
Mm.
And then also in Rwanda, someone must be strong and not allow people to take them out because they've got a vision. So I do not know whether we need such kind of things to adopt a system depending on the country or on the continent or on the mindset of people, rather than doing what other countries have done. Like America. America was founded in the 18th century, 1798, 1789 there. It's an old country. So if we follow what they are doing there and then we do it here, I don't know whether it can do good for us, because we are starting from different perspectives and different times.
Yes.
So we need a lot of research in that line so that we can understand what can do better for us, what can be best for us. So that's the thing.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Mild. And I think as we wrap up, I think we've touched a bit on those suggested solutions that we can explore to close the gap. And I hear one of them is, those change in the mindset, politicians also coming on board, individuals, I suppose, also then coming on board. And so it says to me, it is possible to close the digital gap. But I want us to just rehash those as we close. For our listeners and, I suppose for everyone else listening, what are those things? How do we close the gap? It is possible to close it.
Yes, it is possible to close. And I just want to go through them once again.
Yes.
Like what other countries did, those who closed the gap.
Yes.
They actually started, instead of getting money from the donors, they started manufacturing.
Okay.
So manufacturing is very, very important. You have just to, because those people who come as investors, they also want to get it an easy way. They will come, but you have to put your foot down and put things on the table whereby your resources won't just go out as a country.
Yeah.
You really need also to benefit and make sure that they leave something in your country.
Yes.
So what we need is, I had put up a few points which are, I can go through right now.
Yes,
the first one is we need to increase productivity and the efficiency.
Mm.
And then we need to change our mindset. Mm. Yes. And then remove corruption in our circles. And this must start from the grassroots, meaning a person as an individual, when you are speeding up, a police officer stops you, you just do the right thing.
Yeah.
You just accept to get a fine.
Yeah.
You do not show money to those people because we are weakening them.
Yeah.
They will come across a very, very big criminal. And because you've contributed in weakening them, they will let a criminal go away because you've already made them used to that. So we need to remove corruption. We need to enhance innovation and entrepreneurship, meaning we need to look at our education system also. Is our education system to our benefit, or it is just there to make us work and wait for people to employ us. Like you said, other countries are coming to Africa, you know, they are coming with money to Africa, and you find that Africans are going to those countries, leaving the money that those people are coming for. Why? Yeah. Because we do not know what to do with the infrastructure and the natural resources, and so the natural resources that we have in our countries. Mm. So we need to create new industries and job opportunities, improve access to education, healthcare outcomes, and then we need to increase trade and commerce opportunities. Okay. We need to improve infrastructure development and management.
Yeah.
You know, people must be, you know, those are the areas that we need to increase in. Increase access to financial services and inclusion. Financial services shouldn't just be for a certain group of people. Yeah. No. Mm. Opening it up to everyone, including a person who is just making some artifacts there. Let them have access to financial services so that they can improve in that.
Yeah.
Agricultural productivity and food security. Enhance environmental sustainability and management.
Mm.
We need to increase competitiveness in the global market.
Yeah.
Improve public services and citizen engagement. People must know what is happening.
Yeah.
Increase access to information and knowledge.
Yeah.
Create a new market and business models.
Mm.
And to improve disaster response recovery, you know. So we look at all those things.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of resources. So we can bridge the digital divide if we get united.
Sure.
Because division is the opposite of unity.
Yes.
So that divide can be destroyed. Once we are united and we work together, we get one goal of improving our nations. Then we can reach those countries that are better than us.
Sure. Thank you so much, my elder. That came out very nicely as encouraging that we can. Any final thoughts as we round up and close on this one?
Okay. What I can say is, in as much as we are looking forward to improving our infrastructures and all those things that we've talked about, we have to be aware that let's not neglect what we have already.
Yeah.
Because there are countries that have gone down.
Yeah.
Venezuela is one of them.
Yeah.
Zimbabwe is one of them. Mm. Argentina is one of them.
Mm.
You know, they started at a very, very good note.
Mm.
But because of the way of rulership and the policies, you know, miscalculations of outcomes, so it made them go down. But I just want to encourage all of us.
Yes.
Every country that is developed started from the base. Mm. They started from low. And because of being one and focused and having visionary leaders, they improve, just like China.
Yeah.
So we can do that. And I do have hope that we can improve and this digital divide can be closed up.
Sure. Yes. Thank you so much, my elder. Really appreciate your time. Beautiful insights there. And may God continue to bless you. Thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you, Tapelo. God bless you. And thank you.
Thank
once
you so
again,
much.
Everyone.
Appreciate it. That was our elder there. That is Elder Damon Mubinde talking to us about the digital divide. It is a real thing. If you come to think about it from the context of the statistics that he laid earlier on, that in the more developed world, 97% of the people have access to some or other digital platforms, digital infrastructure, all these digital things. They have access to them. And in South Africa, east, west, the numbers are not looking really good. Yeah. I can tell you now that all these things that the elder has been saying, government alone cannot do it. They will never be able to do it. That's why those public partnerships are important. Public-private partnerships, as they are called. Very important for us to do that. You can already hear from the elder there. I mean, very great stuff. Which means we need him. And he's in the private sector, right? He's a lecturer, senior lecturer for that matter. So we need people like him with the brains that he has to help us to bring these things together. But without government exploring and tightening those type of partnerships. Aye. Good bird.
Be part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520. or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.